Yes, lots more to talk with Nancy Leader about. And also the Zetas, her website, zetatalk.com. We'll be back with her in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Nancy Leader and Zetas. Nancy, let me ask you, what do the Zetas look like anyway?
They look like they're very thin. That's what's most remarkable about their bodies. Their body is about the size, I would say, of a fence post. Their arms more like a broomstick. And they have large heads, maybe two, three times as large as ours. Big dark eyes, because their planet that they evolved on had a dim sun, and like our night hunting creatures who have big dark eyes.
Do they look like praying mantises or those walking stick insects? You've seen those things.
Yeah, the body type is like that, but they're not black and they don't kind of hunch over. They stand straight.
Okay.
They're actually very strong. I've seen a Zeta jump 15 feet like we would hop over a step or something like that, because their gravity on their home planet was much stronger. Much more dense.
Sure.
So they are stronger, and you wouldn't believe that from looking at how thin their bodies are. But they don't have lungs that breathe out like we do, where, you know, you can see it expanding and contracting. They have like a bellows lungs, and that means that one lung expands while the other contracts.
Hmm.
And they have a digestive system similar to ours, but they have years and years ago genetically engineered themselves to, they take like a vitamin pill, but it's in the form of a spa, clear water. They immerse themselves in this. They take this into their lungs as well as through their skin, and they take their nutrients in that way while they listen to music that comes through the water.
Well, that's, now, what else do they eat? I mean, do they eat anything like we do?
Well, they used to. They were actually, there's something on the Zeta Talk website called Early Zeta, which they describe themselves as having, being squat, really huge feet, and kind of an elongated long head that blobbed out in the back. And they said that when they were transplanted onto the world, that they evolved on, well, I mean, they evolved after they were transplanted there, with all this tinkering that goes on with helping even mankind. It's been helped with genetic engineering. They had moss and bugs to eat, and therefore, they're always advising people, you know, into the coming troubled times, hey, don't forget you can eat weeds, and don't forget that bugs are very nutritious. In fact, bugs are eaten in third world countries as a delicacy. In Japan, for instance, as a delicacy, they're highly nutritious. They make bears big and strong, kicking over old rotting logs, and there are all the grubs. It sounds horrific, but they're very nutritious. And many animal species on the globe do nothing but eat bugs, and they get by just fine.
In terms of Earth years, what kind of a jump start have they had over us? Thousands of years, millions of years, billions of years?
I'm getting from them more like a millions of years. They're a much older race than we are, and there's actually numerous species. They've told me 127 different species of Zeta, and I've met a few of them. For instance, people will say, well, they're little. They're about 3.5, 4 feet, kind of beige-colored. And they say, oh, no, they're about 6 feet, and they're gray-colored. And then there's another one that I've met that is about 8 feet tall, pretty close to that, because he had to duck to get through the doorways, but their head didn't brush the ceiling.
Where have you met them?
During visitations. And these big white ones have pumpkin heads. They don't have as big an eye. Their heads literally look like pumpkins. That's the shape.
Do they have like the stem sticking out of
them? Yeah, they have a neck. And their neck is very thin. It's not fat like ours.
Like upside down pumpkins, you mean?
Yes, with an upside down pumpkin head. Right.
Interesting. Let's get back to talking to the Zetas if we can. Zetas, we have a guest on Coast to Coast who appears once in a while, and this guest believes that within 2 years, a major solar flare will very well be the kill shot and could wipe out millions and millions of people on this planet. Do you see this as a possibility?
Here's the Zetas. We know the individual of whom you speak, absolutely will not occur. And this has been predicted for a number of years before the year 2000 and has not occurred. The sun is ruffled by the presence of Planet X. You tend to think, and you are told by your human scientists, that all the planets go around the sun in the direction they do because coming out of the Big Bang, they were moving in this direction and have just by momentum kept this up. Well, you don't have your Earth slowing to the extent of a leap second every dozens of years because this is momentum. This, in fact, is more like bobbling on a sea of particle flows, which you cannot, with your eyes, see. You're aware of the solar wind coming out of the sun, but there are particles that go back into the sun, also thousands of them that you are not aware of. Likewise with the sun and its apparent 11-year cycle, which has been stated by NASA to be a polar flip of the sun, nothing of the sort went on, which was proven by their own Ulysses probe, which went by in 1994 and again in 2001, that the magnetism remained the same, even though NASA pronounced a polar flip had occurred in very early 2001 or shortly at the end of 2000. NASA is wrong, and they struggle, and the activity of the sun now during the solar minimum, what is supposed to be the solar minimum, everyone is saying, oh dear, is the sun going to explode? Is it going to go nova? What's going on? This is a surface ruffle. This is a gaseous body. And the presence of Planet X is disturbing many of these particle flows. It stands between the Earth and the sun, and the particle flows that come out from the sun come round it like ridges. Nancy has described this like the arms of a grizzly bear, you know, as it approaches the Earth, such that the Earth cannot escape. If you put a stick in the river and water is flowing around that stick, you will notice these ridges on either side of that stick, and a little seed caught in the eddy flow there in front of that stick cannot proceed down the river. That's where Earth is right now. We're stuck, and we're watching these particle flows ruffle the surface of the sun, creating more sunspots, more solar flares and the like, and occasional very dramatic electromagnetic disturbances or X-ray disturbances or whatever on Earth. But there is no kill shot coming from the sun. There's going to be a passage of Planet X, which will cause a pole shift, and this will not kill everyone on the planet, fry all the vegetation. People survived in the past, and you can survive too. Death rate is only going to come from ignorance, where people are in the wrong place and drowned, where people do not prepare and understand that they need to feed themselves in a more primitive, simplistic way, like gardening, like fishing, instead of going to the grocery store. But prepared with proper information, you can survive, unless, of course, you need kidney dialysis or some sort of specialized treatment that might not be available. You can survive, just like the Amish do, just like the all cultures, civilized cultures today did 100 years ago, just like third world cultures do. And this is the end of the Zeta Talk rant. Back to you, George.
Zetas, we have a phrase on this planet. We call it sometimes doom and gloom. And I, after talking to the Zetas 2 years ago, you seem to have a more hopeful message, a more benevolent message than a few years ago. What has happened for that to change? Because you sound like you're trying to give humanity hope, where a few years ago it seemed that we didn't have hope.
Well, I'd have to go back and listen to some of those older sessions, but from the start of Zeta Talk, we've emphasized what to do about it as well as what's coming. That's been side by side, and I was webmistress of the massive Troubled Times website that was developed between 96 and 2000 or so, and we have a nonprofit arm of that that puts out a $4.10 twin set CD of all the Troubled Times information, and I recommend people get that. That's below cost, and you can also get the gist of that in a little hip pocket booklet called a Survival Bible or a Survival Guide for $5. It's below cost. And so, therefore, we've always done this, but depending on the interview and what kind of questions are asked, you know, you're going to get the the emphasis on what's coming, and couldn't be true, like debates with Phil Plait or and the like. There's no talk of survival there because you're hammering away at the debate of, is what the Zetas are talking about with Planet X coming into the solar system real or not? And so therefore, you're giving me the opportunity here in a kind of more benign setting to slip this in, the survival information. When I'm given the chance, it's going to be 50-50. Here's what's coming, and here's what you do about it. I believe you don't give people bad news unless you tell them what to do about it, and that's been my philosophy.
See, I've always believed that we can battle back from any severe problems that can and will occur on this planet. I mean, we are human beings, and we are going to be subjected to ups and downs, and maybe some of them may be horrendous. But I think overall, we are going to survive and fight back no matter what happens, whether it's Earth changes or man-made problems. You know, I think we're pretty resilient people.
Yeah, I keep telling people, just think about this, it's going to be fun. School's going to be out for the kids. They get to learn by doing, which is their preferred way anyway, working side by side with their parents. You know, their parents aren't going to have to do 9 to 5 and punch the clock and you know, genuflect in front of a boss that they can't stomach because the guy's arrogant, you know, for instance. You're not going to have to pay your taxes. Your bills are going to be wiped out. But you are going to have blisters on your hands. You are going to have to learn how to hunt and gather or grow gardens and the like, save seed. The sooner you get into some of this, the better. Actually, the little guy is going to do better than the rich guy. Darn right. The rich stay in their big fancy homes and cling to their toys, the Zetas say, or they might hire a militia to defend them. And the problem with that is, after all the court systems are gone and the police systems are not in place, you know, the phones don't work and the electricity is down. What's to keep those hired mercenaries from being loyal servants? Heck, they're going to say, well, I think I'll be king of this pile and have some fun with all that. The toys that the rich have accumulated. The little guy is in a house that's less likely to kill him if it drops on him during an earthquake, more likely to be out in a tent somewhere in a field. They know how to work. They're our worker bees now. They're out there digging ditches, or they're working in construction, or they're nurses, or, you know, life is hard. They do their own cleaning. They're familiar with what it takes to get through day to day. Their loss is not as great. Their sense of freedom is a better feeling. And they historically survive the earthquakes and the pole shifts in greater numbers and do better.
Well, Zetas, let me ask you this question, a question, of course, that is universal. Do you, Zetas, believe in a God?
Here's Zetas on that. Of course we do. And we were asked this early on in Zeta Talk, what is God? Everyone wants to know. We don't know any more than you do. We can see God's hand in the universe, which is laid out and beautifully evolution of species on many worlds. And believe me, the hominoid species is a very small percentage of the evolution of life. But we can see that spirits evolve and reincarnate. We're aware of our past lives. But what is God's plan, and why has this all been laid out? That we don't know any more than you do. End of Zeta Talk.
Fascinated, Zetas, how we originated on this planet. If you look at some of the work of one of our scholars, Zachariah Sitchin is his name, in his interpretation of old Sumerian texts, can you tell us if some of those interpretations are indeed accurate? Did extraterrestrials come down here 5,000 years ago or so, maybe even more, and I guess maybe even 400,000 years ago? Did they begin to seed this planet, genetically alter us?
And here's the Zetas on that. Sitchin is taking his information from the ancient Sumerian text, where giant hominids, who in fact reside on this passing planet and came to Earth to mine for gold, which they needed, in their opinion, to enhance their atmosphere when they were traveling out into space and retain the heat and light their own planet, which is a type of smoldering brown dwarf, emitted. They came to Earth to mine for gold, and when their planet came back, delivered the gold. Lately, they've been mining off a moon of Mars, Phobos, and not on Earth because man has gotten so numerous on Earth as to become messy, and they wish peace. So Zechariah Sitchin was interpreting many of these ancient Sumerian texts that were essentially bragging by these giant hominoids. They tinkered with genetic engineering. This is going on in Homo sapiens today, humans today, Dolly, the cloned sheep, for instance. So therefore, you get into genetic tinkering. Some genetic diseases are attempting to be cured by DNA fixing, breathing in something so you don't have a clogged lung, for instance, cystic fibrosis. And they bragged to the extent that they created man or that they could put various species together with man, half human, half animal, and drew pictures. And you have your braggarts among you. Many university scientists make claims that are not true, that are later found to be untrue, and they want their grants to continue and the like, exposure. So nothing new about that. In fact, mankind has gone through many genetic engineering stages, only some of which you're aware of, Neanderthal man, modern man. They say, well, where's the missing link? Often these early versions of early man were taken to an island. Genetic engineering was done there. When they had the product they wanted, they put them back onto larger continents, and that island may or may not be above the waves now, so the missing link is gone. So mankind is currently in its next leap forward with a hybrid between ourselves and humans, which has been developed for the last 100 years or so, which will be the body that you will reincarnate into, George, in your next lifetime on Earth. Hairless, small breasts, skinny bodies, high IQs. So get used to it.
I look that way now, Zetas.
And this is the end of Zeta Talk, George.
The Zetas have a sense of humor. No, I'm kidding, of course. Zetas, we're running into what we have as commercial breaks here, but I do want to ask you this, and we might have to follow through. Did man truly go to the moon in 1969? Did man go to the moon before that, maybe hundreds and hundreds of years before that?
Here's Zeta Talk on that. Man did go to the moon, and there's been a controversy about, oh, was it all staged in filming studios? And we said both. They actually staged film where maybe a flag was flapping in the breeze, but they also went to the moon, and that staged footage was just in case they needed it. And they were more worried about an astronaut blurting out something on the face of the moon where they couldn't use the footage, then not actually getting to the moon. What did they find on the moon? Evidence that there had been cities built there, which in fact NASA and JPL were aware of from the early days of MJ-12, Roswell era on, because they were. Many members of MJ-12 were taken to the dark side of the moon, where there's an ongoing base now. Therefore, this was used in the past, the moon, for some genetic engineering, tinkering mankind's leaps forward, etc. And to go further with this discussion, we have to explain the good guys and the bad guys. What's there now on the dark side of the moon is the bad guys, what we call service to self, like a prison colony type of arrangement. And this is an extensive thing. I hear the commercial music, and the Zetas are saying goodbye.
Thank you, Zetas. Appreciate it. We'll be back. There's much more to talk about. Atlantis. What about the devil? What do the Zetas think about that? And much more when I come back on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. We'll give you an opportunity to chat with Nancy Leader and the Zetas. It'll be your choice when we come back, top of the hour. But when we do come back, I'll finish up with some questions about the devil on Coast to Coast AM. Nancy, do you communicate telepathically with the Zetas? How does that work?
Yeah, that's how that works. And it's not a voice in my head. It's actually a concept that I wrap English around. Now, if I was Greek, I would be wrapping Greek around it and speaking to you in Greek. So English is the last, or our language is the last thing we wrap around a concept in the head. And people say, well, what does it feel like? The only thing I can best equate it to is like daydreaming. For instance, if you're musing about something, you know, kind of like practically meditating, and suddenly an idea pops into your head, that's what it feels like. And that idea that pops into my head, then I put words around it and explain it, and that's the process.
Have they sometimes changed your views on things? You know, let's assume you thought oil was fossil fuel, for example, and they convinced you otherwise.
Yeah, that happens a lot. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons I like doing New Zeta Talk is I always learn something. and frequently I'll say to people, well, I might get a hunch what they're going to say, but yes, indeed, it's been a real learning process for me.
Do you ever argue with them?
Yeah, and there was, but very seldom. There was one time I didn't like the use of one of their words. They were talking about after the pole shift how because people will be so rattled, their life literally turned upside down, that we're going to be acquainted with the alien presence face to face, that people will just, aliens will just walk up to people. If, you know, they said the best time to do something like that is when they're open for anything because they're literally in shock, you know, and this is the least of their worries. In particular, hybrids, you know, human Zeta combinations that look, you know, a little bit like people, you know, can walk up and the like. So they said, well, we will have hybrid communities and they'll be very high tech. And if you're the right sort of person practicing the golden rule and good hearted and the like, we might, quote, absorb some people into our communities. And I said, use the word adopt, not absorb. And the reason for this was in those days, back in 1995 or so when Zeta Talk first started, there was all this talk about aliens getting people, hacking them up into pieces and putting them in vats and dissolving them and drinking the vat water. And I said, absorb, you know, is too akin to that. So that was an argument, and I won that argument.
Are there, Nancy, some very malicious aliens out there in the universe? I mean, that would harm people?
Yeah. Actually, all worlds that spark or have souls generated, and our Earth is one like that, it's considered like a kindergarten area. And 5% of the time, these souls never really grow up to consider others. They stay self-centered like a newborn baby, and they're very demanding. They get into sadism. They're control freaks. And the 95%, other 95% learn empathy, learn how to cooperate, teamship, and the like. So when we graduate out of a kindergarten, which is where our Earth is going, you know, now the next 100 years or so, The guys that have become self-centered are taken away into a kind of reform school. Now, this isn't just a place. I mean, they do have their own planets and the like. But it's also like a block because there is an administrative kind of a police force in the universe, which the Zetas call the Council of Worlds, which prevents interaction between these selfish guys from the good-hearted guys. There's rules. There's like, it's called rules of engagement, you know, where they agree to, you know, engage for a limited period of time or only, you know, in this place or only on this issue or something like that, and then they disengage. So, but on Earth, what's happening during visitations is if you give a self-centered call, I want my neighbor's wife, you know, how do I get rid of my neighbor, you're going to get a visit from the bad guys counseling you.
Mm-hmm.
If you give a good call, you know, my child has leukemia, I wish I could be the one taken instead. What can I do? You know, you're so generous and concerned that you're willing to put yourself in that child's place and go instead. That's a call to the good guys. So there are good and bad. And what's confusing to so many people is the message given out is that aliens can just come down to Earth and have their way with us. That's not true. The rules are they can counsel us. They can give the psychological input, that type of thing. They cannot physically touch us or affect us. So you can just say no. If you're called aliens and you feel you're having visitations, you sense this, you can just say, I don't want this anymore, and you won't have any more visitations. The human controls the interaction, which is not well understood by the human population.
Back to the Zetas for a series of questions. Zetas, the devil, do you believe in this evil spirit?
Here's Zeta Talk on that. We have explained within Zeta Talk that the devil, pictured as glowing red skin with a pitchfork with three points on it, was a real creature, and he exists today. He was highly service to self, as we describe our descriptive term for those who have never grown up and remained self-focused, came to Earth, and the three points on his pitchfork were, in fact, three little peons that accompanied him, each of which holding like a stick in their hands, and they lined up closely next to him so that he was seen with these three sticks nearby. And he did glow red from his skin. He had that physical appearance. The devil is not a single entity. The universe develops in spiritual growth, as we have relayed, small percentage delayed in their growth and staying spiritually stunted, selfish. They're taken away. They cannot, at a certain point in their development, proceed unless they learn to become empathetic, and then they can leave their prison colonies and go back into the mainstream and proceed. So it's a temporary prison colony, although some stay there for virtually seems forever. Souls never die, no matter how many eons go by. So the devil is really a concept of selfishness, the wish to control, the wish to perhaps be sadistic, which is just a control mechanism. See how powerful I am. I can do what I wish with people. And not an actual personage or spirit. Integral, and this is the end of Zeta Talk.
Dare I ask the Zetas about the Antichrist? Might it be someone that many believe to be called the Maitreya, by any chance, on this planet?
Here's Zeta Talk on that. The Antichrist is, again, a concept, not a single person. There's a polarization that happens when worlds go into a transformation period. When Jesus said, I will return and the meek will inherit the earth and 1,000 years of peace, he was attempting to describe to the people in the era when he was on earth in a way that they could understand what's going to happen with the earth. Because the pole shift, which is a natural occurrence, will decimate the earth of its current human population to the extent where 90% will die, either as the result of drowning or injury or starvation afterwards, a natural occurrence such as is happening today in the sub-Sahara where starvation is rampant, or massive tornadoes or hurricanes which kill people by the hundreds of thousands in some regions of the world. Today we have this, and so it's not something delivered upon the earth. It's simply a natural occurrence, has happened in the past. Because of this natural die-off, the earth is can be transformed into a home for the good-hearted and has been administratively scheduled. Jesus knew this was coming. He's 1,000 years of peace, but of course it's more than 1,000 years. Now,
are you okay?
This is Nancy again, and you know I forgot the question we're asking. Oh, the Antichrist.
Let me get
back. Yeah, the Antichrist is representative of the fact that as the selfish lose their grip on the earth, there's a polarizing that they get frantic and angry. They get more obvious. The claws come out, and this is what people are seeing: not a single individual, but a behavior in those who are in control often on Earth. They work themselves into political positions, into the heads of corporations. They become very wealthy because they rip people off. And when they see that their world is going to change and they're going to be thrown down with everybody else and having to get blisters on their hands gardening, they're furious. They're angry. And their claws come out. And this is the evidence of the Antichrist that people should be looking for, because it's very real. The polarization of the spiritual orientations, good-hearted versus selfish, will become increasingly obvious, and that's your evidence of the Antichrist emerging. End of Zeta Talk.
Zeta, there's a human being on this planet. His name is Richard C. Hoagland. He comes on the show every once in a while. Lately, he's been doing superb coverage for us on the shuttle launch and landing. He believes that there are monuments on Mars, that there's a face on Mars constructed a long time ago by Martians and visitors. The real only way we'll ever be able to prove that is if we go ourselves. Maybe you can help us, Zetas. Were beings living on that planet, did they construct those artificial, as I will call it, structures?
Here's Zeta Talk on that. Absolutely. We've reported extensively on that within Zeta Talk. In the government section, as Nancy has categorized it, Mars was a life-bearing planet. Moss, bugs, water, had water on its surface. What happened to it? As the Earth became increasingly populated by humans, it became a messy place. And also the Council of Worlds decided that these giant hominoids, which stand 8 foot tall and are much more massive in bone structure and muscle than humans, were intimidating the normal species of Homo sapien on Earth, and said, you go mine gold elsewhere, and chase them off to Mars by giving them so much difficulty in their efforts on Earth that they left willingly, not even realizing that they were being encouraged by a galactic quarantine. So on Mars, they used water to wash the ore in order to extract the gold, and they used this by pouring the water down into cavities and sending it underground, which is what's increasingly coming out as the probes go around Mars, our predictions and statements brought forth as true.
Well, he'll be glad to know that. Zetas 2012, a Mayan calendar deadline here on this planet, an ending of some sorts, or maybe a beginning. What do you think that date means?
Here's Zetas on that. 2012, as we have stated, is an artificial date that was generated by those trying to understand the calendar. The calendar did not have hook points where you could say, at this point in the calendar, it was talking about some sort of a planetary lineup or a comet coming through, anything that you could determine. It was just a series of days, and they took their best guess as to when the start date was, and they missed. They did not start it at the right date. So 2012 is actually a nonsensical date. The Mayan calendar in and of itself is accurate for calculating the seasons and the like year after year. They had a number of different calendars that were also accurate. They were smart. But the date started on the wrong date. End of Zeta Talk.
Okay, very good. Nancy, let's bring you back, if we can, for a moment in the next hour. We'll take phone calls from people, and they can, of course, chat with whomever they would like. With the Zetas, how many are we talking about? Is there one there, two there, a handful?
They say they have 25 to 27. They actually, the reason the number would vary is that they're doing their normal work, and they're very heavily telepathic with each other. And while they're working away at whatever they do, they're kind of hanging out in our conversation. They're actually able to tell what you're going to say just before you say it, more or less. So they know where you're heading, and they know what people are really wanting to know when they call in. It's just kind of like they're busy in the room and putting down what they're doing to chip in, at a certain point. Here, George, you can answer this question better than Jane can, that type of thing, and letting one at a time answer the question. Oftentimes, if they think it's going to be like a specialized interrogation, let's say we're going to talk about astrophysics or we're going to talk about genetics, they'll drag in Zetas that know more about that are their scientists to participate. Sometimes it's very sociological. I've had a very poetic Zeta talk that brought tears to my eyes, so I think they have poets among them too, and that's how they work it.
Zetas, with a few moments that we have available here right now, let's glance a little bit at the future of this planet, if we can, in the next couple of years. There is concern of the possibility of nuclear attack. Do you see this horrible thing occurring?
Good question. Here's the Zetas on that. A little known factor is that we have been reducing the nuclear arms held by the U.S. and Russia and other countries. And this is a capability of ours, which Nancy has seen demonstrated chemical reaction. Actually, if you look at chemistry, what causes crystals or liquids and the like, it's subatomic particles lining up and moving about. And likewise, radioactivity is nothing more than the arrangement of subatomic particles or the core of an atom. And this can be altered depending upon interaction. So we can negate radioactivity. We can go into a bomb and eliminate this. And there has been a great deal of this going on outside of the public's knowledge. Russia and the U.S. are aware of this. They don't announce this. And why don't they? They don't want people to think of them as vulnerable. There is some interference by the Council of Worlds allowed. Some yes, some no. We have interfered greatly with weapons of mass destruction being inserted into Iraq, which was attempted literally hundreds of times. Or we have interfered with terrorist activities in the United States, which had given too much power to go into martial law in the hands of the Bush administration. We did not interfere in London because martial law is not about to be imposed there. Nor is London as dominant in the world as a military power. So we would say offhand, no, it won't happen. However, there is much that is in the hands of man. The Council of Worlds can change their determinations, and so therefore this is not an absolute. End of Zeta talk.
I would love one day, Nancy, for the Zetas to plop their saucers down somewhere in the middle of Washington, just like they did in the day the Earth stood still. I wonder if that would ever happen.
Well, they've said that, this is Nancy here, this is mass landing. Anything that will terrify people will not happen. The increase in sightings we're having, people say, oh, some mothership or groups of people see this stuff and the like, is paced not to increase fear and anxiety. Why? Because that leads people to selfishness. And their goal is to have empathy and caring and a feeling of welcoming rather than scared and frightened. So they won't increase anxiety. Mass landing like that would increase anxiety. It won't happen.
Very good. Well, stay with us. We'll open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to chat with Nancy Leader about Earth changes or other issues, along with the Zetas as well. As I've always mentioned, a couple of great chat rooms that monitor the program while we're on the air live. If you want to become members of them, I'm going to set a little challenge to you. I want to see how strong their servers are. If you're at a computer, join one of the other chat rooms. There's two of them, or join them both. It's your choice. One is called NighthawkZone.com, N-I-G-H-T, NighthawkZone.com. The other, of course, is the old reliable, the FantasticForum.com, FantasticForum.com. Join the chat rooms. Let's see how strong their servers are and have some fun, because they are. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.